We're going to conclude today a mini-series that we began back in December called The Reason for the Season. And my intention, guys, was to conclude this mini-series in the month of December because commonly in America, December is known as what? It's known as Christmas time, right? So we just ended 2008. We've transitioned into 2009. It's a new year. But you know what? We can celebrate Christ every single day of our lives. So today we're going to conclude this mini-series called The Reason for the Season. And the subtitle is Peace on Earth. Peace on Earth. And the text is found in Luke chapter 2. We'll be reading from verses 8 through 14. And just to give you some background information on this, let me just kind of summarize verses 1 through 7 of Luke chapter 2. And Caesar Augustus at that time issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And it says, everyone went to his own town to register. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, his wife-to-be. She was expecting a child. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, Jesus. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we pick up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Now, the last time we talked about the reason for the season, we concentrated on verse 11. Jesus came to this earth to be Savior and Lord. Verse 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. When you accepted Jesus into your life, said, Jesus, come into my heart. He became your Savior. But He also wants to be your Lord. Lord means ruler. The one in full charge of every part of your life. Today we're going to be talking about peace on earth from verse 14 of Luke 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Now let me ask you this question. Who are the ones upon whom the favor of God rests? Who are the ones upon whom the favor of God rests? Us. It's the ones that have done what verse 11 talks about. It's the ones who have made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. Those are the ones upon whom the favor of God rests. You see, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, you were adopted into the family of God. You became a son and a daughter of God. Those upon whom the favor of God rests have peace. Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, lives on the inside of them, right? So if God's favor rests on you, what does that mean? That the peace of God lives on the inside of you because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is right here in your heart. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, peace on earth. Friends, everyone on the face of this earth, from north to south, east to west, is searching for one thing. Every single person on the face of this entire earth is searching for this one thing. And what is it that they're searching for?
The Lord.
Okay, the Lord, he says.
Peace.
Everybody is looking for inner peace. And it's only found in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. You know, I was in India for many years. I did evangelistic work, missions work in the country of India. I've told this story before. Some of you might have heard it, but it bears repeating. I was in North India in New Delhi. And normally when I'm in New Delhi ministering in that area, I stay at the YWCA. And there's like a little courtyard area on the side of this place where people can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And my Indian host and myself were there one day, and this lady showed up, a Caucasian lady. And she said that, she started talking to us, and she said that she came to India years before that. And she said she came, and she met this Hindu spiritual leader. And she said, you know what? She's like, he was funny looking, short, just funny looking, had big hair. You know, he was just funny. She said, but he talked to me. And I fell in love with him. And ever since, I've been spending 6 months of every year in India. And so she's debating and arguing back and forth with my friend, with my Indian host friend. He can do this for me. He can do that. He gives words of advice back and forth and back and forth. And finally, my Indian host friend asks her this question. He said, ma'am, has this Hindu spiritual leader been able to give you inner peace? And friend, I kid you not, at that point, the conversation became silent. The understood answer was no. And I'm here to tell you today that there's no one, no world religious leader, no thing that can give true inner lasting peace except Jesus Christ. People try to find inner peace in so many ways, but only Jesus can give it. You know, over a year ago, I was driving through Tulsa. I noticed the sign and it said, Inner Peace Yoga Classes. Inner Peace Yoga Classes. Yoga is not going to give you any kind of peace. Only He will, Jesus Christ. Let's see what Jesus says about His peace. In John chapter 14. Jesus says some very powerful things about the peace that He gives. John 14, verse 27. He says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He's saying that His peace replaces turmoil and anxiety. He says this, I do not give to you as the world gives. What does Jesus mean by that? I do not give to you as the world gives. I believe this is what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to say this, the world has their understanding of peace. The world mistakes happiness for peace. And the word happiness is based upon happenings. So the world, non-Christians, non-believers, think this way. If they've got plenty of money, got a big house, a nice boat, nice cars, a great spouse, they say that they have peace. But it's not peace as we understand it as believers in Jesus Christ. Right? What they have is happiness. It's only temporary happiness. So God forbid if they lose the career or the money or the spouse, they say that they've lost their peace. They haven't lost their peace. What have they lost? They've lost their temporary happiness. You know, other people, and this may be you here today, try to find peace and relief and alcohol. Some people try to find it in drugs. Some people try to find that peace in wrong sexual relationships with someone who is not their spouse. It's not peace the way we as Christians understand it. It's only temporary relief, because when the alcohol runs dry, when the drugs wear out, when that relationship gets old, those in the world, non-Christians, say that they've lost their peace. No, they haven't lost their peace. They've lost their temporary relief. Is that making sense? There's a beauty about the peace of Christ. There's a beauty about the peace of Christ, and it's found in Mark chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, let's turn there. What is the beauty of the peace of Christ? We'll find out. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. And I've read this passage so many times, but I never saw it the way I saw it here when I was studying this passage just recently. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Verse 37. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Imagine this scenario. Jesus and his disciples in a boat, sailing along this body of water, right? And all at once, now Jesus is in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. All at once, this storm comes about, and the boat is rocked back and forth. Waves coming into the boat, you know, waves of water coming into the boat, nearly swamping that boat. And they're hit with this storm. But here's the amazing thing. In the middle of this storm, verse 38, here's the key. In the middle of this storm, where was Jesus?
Sleeping.
Sleeping in peace. In the back of the boat. It didn't affect Jesus. He was calm. He was at peace in the midst of this physical storm. The disciples were afraid. So Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and all became still. So here's the beauty of the peace of Christ, is that you can have it. I can have it in the middle of the storms that we're going through in life. Jesus did, right? He was sleeping in peace while the storm was going on, while the boat was being rocked. And the Word of God says in 1 John 2:16, if we claim to live in Him, we must walk as Jesus walked. In other words, Jesus ought to be our model for Christian living. And if Jesus had peace, was sleeping in peace in the middle of the storm, that means that we as his followers can have the peace of God deep down on the inside in the middle of the storms that we're going through in life. Is that making sense to you today? You know, you can have the peace of Christ in the middle of the unexpected report. Something you did not expect to hear. You can have it in the middle of the unexpected visit or the unanticipated surprise. You know, it's the beginning of a new year, and I'm preaching to myself today. And at the beginning of this new year, you may have lots of thoughts going through your mind. God, what are you wanting me to do this year? God, do you have a better place for me to live than here at the shelter? God, do you have a better vehicle for me to drive, or a vehicle at all for me to drive? God, is there a better job in store for me this year? God, what is it that you're wanting me to do in 2009? Who is it that you're wanting me to date and to marry? Which church are you wanting me to go to? So there could be all kinds of thoughts racing through your mind. But in the midst of all those racing thoughts, friends, you can have the peace of God resident deep down on the inside of you. Right here, in your spiritual heart. You know, I'd like to share a story, and some of you may have heard this story before, but it bears repeating. Back in 2005, God placed it on my heart to do some tsunami relief work in the country of India, South India. And preparations were being made. We had raised funds. Schedules were set. I put a team together. There was four of us on this team. A friend of mine and then an older couple. So we were ready to fly out to South India. I was excited. We were going to bring the gospel to a village that never heard the gospel before. We were going to teach in a Bible college. So the night before we flew out, we were going to fly out the next morning, so that night previous, I got an unexpected phone call from this gentleman, one of the team members, older man. He says, "Jonathan, I've had a medical emergency, and my doctor is telling me that I should not fly to India at this time." And I was like, "What? You got to be kidding me." All kinds of thoughts started racing through my mind. I was thinking to myself, am I doing the right project at the wrong time? Do I need to cancel this project altogether? Do I need to reschedule it for next year? God, I don't understand what's going on, and my mind was playing tricks with me. It was racing. But friend, I kid you not, my boat was being rocked. That was a storm in my life. But in the middle of that storm, guess what? The peace of God was deep down on the inside of me. Yes, my boat was being rocked, but I focused in faith on the peace of God deep down inside. And friend, today your boat is probably being rocked somehow, emotionally, physically, financially, job-wise, an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Your boat is being rocked somehow. But you know what? You can have the peace of God deep down on the inside. Knowing that God has got your back. He's got the entire situation under His control. God has got you, guy. He's got you, friend. He's got the situation in His hand. He's looking out for you. So don't fret, don't worry, don't let your mind race. Just be at peace. Sleep in peace tonight, like Jesus did in the back of that boat. Knowing that God has got you. Focus on God. Have faith in God. And you'll have that peace on the inside. And the very first way to get God's peace on the inside is by making Jesus Savior. If Jesus is not your Savior, if He's not your Lord, then you can't have the peace on the inside because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And it's only if the Prince of Peace is living in here that you can have that true inner peace. So if you've not yet done it, today you'll have the opportunity to make Jesus your Savior or to recommit your life to Him. All right, so peace on earth to men upon whom the favor of God rests. Now, friends, if you're full of the peace of Christ on the inside, it should overflow into your relationships with other people. Peace on the inside and peace with other human beings. Let's turn to Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. This is what Paul writes. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful." What is he saying here in verse 15? He's saying, let the peace of Christ be the umpire of your life. What does an umpire do? Say what? Makes the calls, right? In the game. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your relationship, relationships with other human beings. You know, as we interact with other human beings every day, there's going to be an opportunity for a disagreement, for strife, or discord to arise, right? As you interact with other people, you're going to think differently than them. And there will be that chance for disagreements, a lack of harmony, to arise. So, if the opportunity for discord or strife arises, ask yourself this question. WWCD. What would Christ do? What would Christ do? If you're about to get into an argument with someone about something or somebody or some thought, ask yourself, WWCD. What would Christ do? Let's answer that right now. What would Christ do if the opportunity for discord or disagreement arose? What would he do?
Choose the peaceful solution.
That's good. Excellent.
Bless them.
Okay. Anybody else? What would Christ do? Christ would set aside self. He would set aside self to maintain the harmony and the peace, knowing deep down on the inside that God has got the entire situation under control. You know, somebody may have an opinion that's different than yours, a thought that is different than yours, and some people are of the mentality, it's either my way or the highway. You know, when I was in school, I had a principal that said that once. He said, guys, listen, it's either my way or the highway. And when you think that way, you're going to get into discord and strife with other people. You know, Jesus was not of that mentality, right? It's either my way or the highway. Jesus maintained the peace and the harmony. He set aside self to maintain God's peace in that relationship, knowing in himself that God would show the other person the right way. One last scripture, Matthew 17. Let's see how Jesus actually practiced this in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, the collection of the temple tax, verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" Verse 26. "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Verse 26. Jesus said the sons are exempt, right? But here's the key, verse 27. That was the thought of Jesus. The sons are exempt. The children of God are exempt. But in verse 27, "so that we may not offend them," he said, "so that we may not get into disagreement and discord with them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch. Open its mouth and you will find the coin." So what did Jesus do? He kind of set aside self in this situation to maintain the harmony and the peace with the temple tax collector. Amen? So friend, my word of encouragement to you starting this new year is this. Try to maintain peace and harmony with everybody that you come into contact with. The peace of Christ resides, lives deep down on the inside of you, right? Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives right here. And that inner peace that you have with Christ should overflow into your relationships with others. And friends, I guarantee it, maybe even this week, the opportunity will pop its head for you to get into an argument with somebody. Ask yourself, WWCD, what would Christ do? Christ would set aside self to maintain the peace and harmony, knowing deep down inside, in faith, that God has got the entire situation under control. Amen?